Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could be here to worship with you today. We thank you for the ones that are still here in class. I pray that you'd be with each of them as they're working on school and work stuff. Give them the hours they need in a schedule that works for them to be at church and be able to go to school and study when they need to. Help them with their purchases of books and calculators to know the right things to get. I pray that you'd keep all of us healthy and strong. Help no one to be sick. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn to Philippians 2. We were here in this book, and we tried to talk about the social media tool. We started talking about Philippians 2:15, and I just felt like I should have looked at more than one verse, which I had looked at more than one verse before last week, but not with you guys. And I felt like I should reread Philippians 1 and 2 when I did that. Now I kind of have a couple of things I think we should talk about before we move on to the stuff that's in the book. So in Philippians 2, we can start at the beginning of the chapter. It says,
I was like, how do you make Lenny do that? Like, it's like a napkin right there. It's like, how do you do
that? In Philippians 2, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Look at what it says. This is an if-then statement. All of you are college students. You've seen an if-then statement before. We're looking at the if. It says, if there's any comfort or consolation, it says in Christ. Any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels, or the Bible says bowels. We use the word heart and mercies. If any of that exists, it says. Are you ready for this? This is the then part of the if-then statement. It says, then fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. So it says, if being a Christian and knowing Christ gave you any of that comfort and consolation and mercy, if any of that happened, I want you to do one thing for me, Paul says. And the one thing he wants you to do is fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Who does he want you to be of one mind with? Him? Paul? No. Paul is striving to be of one mind and like-minded and of one accord and of one heart with God. So Paul wants the people he's writing to, and God preserved this letter for us as part of the Bible, so God wants us to strive to be like-minded and of one mind with God. Just like she held up. Makes sense. Perfect. Right? Then it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That means, don't run around the church doing stuff so that people will see you doing stuff. Don't be out cleaning up the weeds in the front of the church parking lot on Sunday morning as everyone's driving in so they can see how hot and sweaty and hard you're working, right? Put others before yourself. Get it done at an appropriate time. So they don't have to feel bad for you. Because are you doing it for them to feel bad for you? Or are you doing it for the Lord? Right? So let nothing be done through vainglory or strife, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Put other people first. Right? We're going somewhere with this. Look, not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Be looking out for how you can take care of other people before you're trying to take care of yourself. That comes into play big time in a family situation, right? I'm constantly pulling the big kids away to help me with the little kids because I'm trying to help her with the baby or, you know, whatever. Always, always we're helping each other in a family. I grew up in a big family, and that was the training ground for having a big family. Learning how to take other people's needs ahead of your own. Then he's going to go ahead and he's going to give us an example. Remember, we're trying to be like-minded with someone. Now look at what it says. In verse 5 it starts, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Hold there for a second. He was God. Because he was God, he had all the power, all the comfort, all the joys, all the, what do they call it, the bonuses, the
perks.
The perks. He had all the perks of being God. He lived in heaven. He didn't have to be hot. He didn't have to be cold. He didn't have to have any of these problems that we have here on earth. He had all the perks of being God. All of them. And it says, since he was God, it wasn't robbery to be God. Having all the perks was okay because he was actually God. Back, if you think about big, big, powerful kings, do you think anyone ever would have gone to Nebuchadnezzar and said, you shouldn't have the nicest, safest, warmest palace in the country? No one would have said that to Nebuchadnezzar. He was the king. He was absolutely the king. That came with being the king. That was one of the perks, and no one was going to say to him he couldn't have it. That is, no one except God, until God kicked him out for 7 years. But, you know, that was one of the perks. Having the perks of the position you're in is not wrong. Then it says, but remember, we're trying to keep this mind in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 7. But made of himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Went from absolute God, deity status, with all the perks, to be made in likeness of man. And not just made in likeness of man. He was this size. Little tiny baby. Could do nothing for himself. Had to cry for everything he needed. Literally had to cry for everything he needed. If he was cold, only he didn't know how to talk, so he had to cry. If he was too hot, had to cry. If he was hungry, had to cry. If he soiled his own pants, had to cry. Right? How many of you think of God this way? He went from having all the perks to this. Let's see why he did it. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. One of the main perks of being God is nobody can kill you. Shane, in a video game, when you get God mode, what does it mean? They can't kill you.
Oh.
You can do whatever you want.
And
run around and beat the game or whatever. And they can't kill you because you're in God mode. A video game is not a good analogy for church and Bible and stuff, but that's what people think about. I have kids, they think about video games. It's kind of dumb. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Then it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So please don't read 9 through 11 and say, he did good and God said he did good, and leave it at that. Think about this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, including who? Including death, including sin, including the devil, right? Every knee. So it's not just that he did good and God said, good job, son. That's not what's going on here. He beat everything evil. Everything we're supposed to be fighting against, he beat it by being humble and putting others first. Remember we said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and earlier, like in verse, what is it, two or three? Be of one accord, of one mind. Lowliness of mind. This goes to our, are you ready for this? Our mindset. What's another word for mindset that your parents probably use with you all the time? Attitude. Right? I know that my mom was not always the most hip person, but she would say things like, watch the tude, putting on the tude.
I can hear her saying that.
Right? And boy, if that came out, you better check yourself, because you probably already wrecked yourself. I mean, you were done when that came out. That was when you looked at mom and you said, yes, ma'am, and you disappeared.
Remember, you, like, she is smaller than me.
Oh, yeah. You just floated away into the distance. You were gone. You went upstairs. You turned off your stereo because that could be annoying. You got out your school books, not just the subject you were working on. You got out all your school books. You spread the papers out. You got the calculator out. And no, you were not drawing Pac-Man on the graphic calculator. You were doing your homework. That way, when mom came looking for the tude, all she was going to find is her angelic child who's doing schoolwork and has so many books all around him, she must be remembering wrong when she thinks that a few minutes ago you were downstairs with the tude. Right? This is supposed to be our mindset, putting others before ourselves. Okay? Let's go farther in a little bit. It says, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. How many of you have ever heard that verse taken out? And a lot of times people just say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and they leave out the rest of the verse. Doesn't that verse mean more? When you're looking at the example that Christ gave of the mindset we're supposed to be in, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Look at 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's why that verse right there, 13, that's why we need to be in the mindset, like-minded to, in the attitude of Christ. Because it's him who's going to give us the will or the desire to do the right things. Our carnal bodies, they don't want to get up and go to church. They want to sleep in. They don't want to tell their friends about Jesus. They just want to go out to eat with them. Right? That's our carnal minds, our carnal bodies. But if we're putting them before us and we're thinking about their eternity rather than our right now, what would we be doing? We would be getting up, not only in going to church, we'd be driving over to our friend's house and saying, hey, I will take you to lunch if you come to church with me. Right? I mean, whatever motivates your friends. And I know in college it was food. But I'm a guy, so it's probably always been food. Probably always will be food. Right? But how can you be in that mindset and put others first? It's that verse 13. When you're in that mindset, he'll give you the will. You remember in Psalm 37:4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, if you're delighting in him, the desires of your heart will be, like verse 13 says, his will, the things he wills for you to do. And by the way, he will always give you his will. He will either give it to you nicely and just say, here you go, here's my will. Or he'll take it and he'll beat you over the head with it and beat you down with it until you submit. And then he'll say, okay, here's my will. He will give it to you either way. You will take it. That's how he does it. Yeah, it is very much like that. That's hilarious. Now, here's one of my favorite verses to use with the kids. Verse 14 says, now that we're in God's mindset and we're living out his will, because he's put his will into us to live out, Then it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now let's look at the verse we looked at 2 weeks ago when we were last here. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And we talked about, we use Facebook as our example of the social media tool. And we said Facebook is this crooked and perverse nation. And on Facebook, we should shine as lights to the world of Facebook or the nation of Facebook.
Does that mean we should just post pictures of kittens with cute little phrases?
No, kittens are of the devil. Have you ever smelled what the house smells like when there's a cat in there? It's not a good thing. Have you ever smelled?
We're not cat people, sorry.
No, we're not cat people.
No,
we'll
I'm
stop.
Not a cat person.
No, we should not post pictures of smelly things on Facebook.
That's not what I meant. You know it.
No.
I meant, should we just be trite? And...
No, we should not be trite.
No.
We should shine as a light, putting others first. Does that mean if you do something nice for someone, you should post on Facebook, look what I did, look what I did?
No.
No, because we said we're being the mindset of Christ, putting others first. Right? We're at the beginning of this Philippians. But look at this. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. How many of you could go on your Facebook wall right now and find someone who's murmuring or disputing?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you could go on one of your friends' Facebook walls and find when you were murmuring or disputing?
It's a place to vent sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
No, that was me last week about work. Well, I'm sorry.
No. The point is not what we're sorry for that we did before. The point is, this says the social media tool. I went yesterday and helped my sister-in-law who's moving her grandma, and I took my hammer with me. And I put some nails on the wall, and I hung some pictures. Are there other things you can do with a hammer, especially a big 18-ounce claw hammer? Are there other things you can do with it that are more harmful than what I did with it? Could you tear something up with it?
Yeah.
Could you pop a hole in Pete's boy's windshield with it? Could you take a bite out of his tire with it? Turn that thing around, use the claw in? Bite out of your pizza, I'll take a bite out of something. Right? That hammer is a tool. You can use it to hang pictures, build a house, build a fence, repair something. You can use it to pull old rusty nails out of the wood so you can make something new with the wood. You can use that hammer for good, right? It's a tool. But oh, could you ever use it for evil? You could take that hammer and throw it at someone. You could throw it at a moving car. There's a million things you could do with a hammer that would be harmful. Now, taking into account all the evil things you could do with a hammer, that's sinful, right? We shouldn't have hammers.
We'll start a new sect.
Right?
No hammers.
This should be the hammerless Christians, right? We should not have hammers. They used hammers to drive the nails in Jesus' hands on the cross. Without hammers, could we have been saved? Are all hammers bad, or just the ones used by bad people to do bad things? Should we go hammerless? It's just a tool. Should we ban Facebook? Is there a good use for Facebook? There can be. Yes. Is there a bad use for Facebook? Can you throw it at someone? No. Can you use it for harm?
I think there could be a case-by-case basis if you know you're someone who can't focus on what they need to or abstain from using it in ways that are negative. That may be you're someone who can't use Facebook. There are people in that situation that it just won't be okay for them.
But does that make Facebook in and of itself evil? No. Does that make the tweeter evil? What else is there?
Now, is there any good use for Snapchat, really?
I mean, I like Snapchat.
Snapchat is just like, they got quick, like, oh, now. I got a Starbucks. Snap, and then that's it. And then 10 seconds is
or,
over.
Oh, everybody really. Come to this gas station where they're only giving out 2 cent gallons of gas because someone messed up inside.
Oh, yeah, I missed that one. That quick mart over there.
That's not a real use for it.
So, to be clear, there are programs that are not a tool. There are programs that you can run on the computer or do on the computer that are evil, and they're meant for evil, and they're sinful in and of themselves. There are, I would probably go so far as to say, 90 to 95% of the people using Facebook use it for evil sometime or another. Right? Probably 90 to 95%
of the people in this room
have used it for evil at one time or another. But it is a tool. Okay? So, there are some other things to consider about social media tools. If you were at church, and this did not happen here, but if you created a Facebook page and said, hey, come to our church, and this person's preaching on this day, and last week was an awesome lesson and we loved it, and this meant so much to me, and you could be doing good things with Facebook. But if someone in authority, like the pastor at that church, had said, I do not want to be on Facebook, I do not want the name of my church posted on Facebook, and I don't want any group that says they represent my church posting things on Facebook, then would it be wrong to go on there and start posting those things? If you're in a situation where you're under authority, and it goes against what the authority says, then using that tool would be wrong. Like if they said, no, that's not the case here. I'm not saying it is. However, I happen to know that all of you have other authority other than just the pastor at the church. And there may be a case where the authority figure in your life says, you may not do this. Please keep that kind of authority in mind. Please don't go back to them and say, Mr. Sam said I could do it because Facebook's just a tool and it can be used for good. Right? Please don't use this as an argument against someone in authority actually, for whatever reason, saying don't do this or don't do that. I fully support parents' rights to make decisions for their children, for obvious reasons.
Joel, now your
uncle
daddy's button.
Just catches. Alright, our memory verse for next week is an easy one. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. It's Philippians 2:14. You never knew that whole long lesson was leading all the way up to that one little 1.5 line verse. But it was.
It's a good verse.
It is.
We use it a lot.
When you have your own kids, you will use it a lot too. Alright, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here this morning. We thank you that we can worship you and learn about you. We thank you that you're patient, and eventually we will get to the lesson in the book that's about Facebook. But I pray that you help us to learn from Philippians 2 what you want us to learn, be able to apply that to our whole lives and not just the tools that we use on the computer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Oh, it needs my daddy to hold this tiny place.
All right, I am going to sneak out to my truck and get the snack bag, and then I'll put this stuff away. That way when the kids start coming in.
Do you want me to come down?
Do I hit public stop?
Yeah.